I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories. Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
The more we can understand how communication can really solve a lot of problems. I know for me, one of the things that used to affect our relationship and that we worked on quite a bit was expectations, right? I had these certain expectations in my head about things that I thought were going to get done by the time I got home.
The Dad Experience.
So we're joining Adam. He has a wonderful podcast called The Dad Experience Podcast. And I've been listening to your podcast for quite some time now. And I really love the guests that you have on and their experiences as dads and what they're doing to be more involved, you know, in the household with their families, with their children, and kind of being more part of the whole experience, right, as a parent. And so I really appreciate the interviews that you've been doing, and I really enjoy hearing just some of the feedback from some of the dads. So the reason I kind of wanted to connect with you is kind of get that information from you of what your experience has been, and, you know, kind of giving from a man's point of view and perspective of what moms can do to be able to let go a little bit and let dads do their things their way, right? And I think one of the things is I think it's so hard for moms is because we tend to have, like, we want to be in full control. And we want to have full control of things, and we have such a hard time letting go control. So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit, talk a little bit about the podcast, because I think it's awesome, and then we'll dive right into that conversation.
Yeah, sure. No problem. Well, thanks for having me on. It's always great to connect with other folks that have like mindsets like us and trying to get through just managing day-to-day life as a parent. There wasn't a whole lot, especially for dads. I mean, there's a lot out there, but there wasn't a whole lot out there for dads that I felt like I could connect with. Maybe right. That's the best way to say it, is stuff that I couldn't connect with. I'm not your typical, I like to call it the Homer Simpson dad. That's mostly what you see a lot. I think that times are changing. I think society is changing, and I think culture is shifting, which is an awesome thing. But, you know, I didn't gravitate to that stuff. If you think about, like, at Father's Day, all the cards that are out, they're always usually about football, they're about beer drinking, and they're about barbecuing. And I relate to some of that stuff, but it's not me. It's not who I am. So I was like, that compounded with my daughter had a complete ABSD, a hole in her heart, that we couldn't really leave the house. So I wanted to do something to learn more myself as a parent. Like I said, I wasn't reading a ton of books that were not necessarily that they needed to be serious, but there wasn't enough information out there for me to relate to. Yeah. Couldn't find things to relate to as a parent and who I was. So I was like, well, what better way to learn? So I took a page out of my education book. I'm a music educator by day. And I took a page out of that book, which was, don't reinvent the wheel. Learn from other folks and learn from each other and take things that you like and, you know, hear other things that you may not agree with, but learn from them. So I decided to start bringing and talking to my friends, actually, is how it started at the podcast. I found a lot of my connections of friends and started talking to them about, hey, come on the podcast. I want to learn from you. And I'm sure, you know, maybe there's a few people out there that want to learn as well. Yeah. It started there as like kind of a homegrown thing. And it's kind of keeps evolving and more people are reaching out to connect and do more. And like I said, for me, if anything, it's been a learning experience for me because I learned something new all the time. From these great dads that are out there. And it's really refreshing to hear that there is a lot of things going on out for dads outside of that, you know, typical what you see in the Hallmark greeting cards, let's say.
Right.
So it's very refreshing to see that. And it's very refreshing to see that there's a lot of dads, maybe ones that you won't even think of that are really connected to, you know, somebody that you might think of some totally different, that they don't want to be the involved dad, but they really are. Yeah. And just hearing those experiences from those folks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's really changing. It's amazing when I work with families, because I actually go into their homes. So, I get to see like behind the scenes, and it's so encouraging to see how dads have shifted their mindset of that's your role, that's my role. It's more like, this is our role. This is what we need to do as a family. We all participate. There is no your job, my job kind of thing. We all do this together as a community. And I think that's just setting such a great pattern for our children. If we have, you know, boys in the family that we're raising, that there is no more your role, my role. This is, you know, it's about us and what we mm-hmm. need to do as a family. So, and I think that's great. It's wonderful to see that. However, with saying that, I still think, though, there's a little bit of that hesitance with moms of kind of controlling the way dads are doing things with their kids. And I'm still seeing that mm-hmm. when it comes to like participating in the household, cooking, cleaning, doing the dishes, you know, all that, we are doing a really good job kind of combining that. And sharing those roles. But I still think that moms are still having a little bit of a hard time letting go about how dads do things differently. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's the same in your household or not. So that's kind of, or if you're finding other dads kind of struggling with that. And that's really what I would like to kind of talk about. Is that something that you feel? Is that something that you hear dads talk about? Or is that shifting? Is that starting to change? What is your perspective on that?
Well, my perspective on all that, you know, I do think in our household, it's a team effort. And, you know, it goes back to one, I had an episode, probably was last year, and it was actually this technology episode. And I brought on a technology expert up. Like, he's going to give me the latest, greatest thing to talk about with our audience, to give them, hey, we can help our kids out by managing technology with this great new fandangled thing. And his answer was, number one thing always was communication.
Yeah.
It's communication. There was no shiny thing that would work to just help. And I kind of, that resonated with me, that one episode a lot, where it was communication, because this is this guy that's totally tech guy that like probably uses everything for everything in his household, but the one thing was the old-fashioned communication. So I think that's number one in our house. We're really, really good about communicating and being able to say, hey, what's going on? How do you feel? Why are you doing this? Or why do you need me to do X, Y, and Z with the kids? And it's communication, open parenting, and asking questions. I've found, and you know, that's partially on the dad side. I think sometimes dads are less apt, or what I've experienced, less apt to ask a question and say,
yeah,
hey, I don't know how to do this. It's kind of like that old adage, the stereotypical thing of dads won't, or males won't ask for directions.
Yes, very true.
And
I'm glad you're bringing that up. I'm so glad you're bringing that up.
And I think that, you know, if there's a time where I'm like, it's handoff parenting, I guess is what I call it. I can't figure out why my daughter isn't listening to me, or why I can't get her to pick up those five or six toys in the room, and it's just easier for me to do it. When it's not necessary, that's not the case. It's like, right. So how are you handling this, and why are they doing it for you, and vice versa. My wife will say, I don't understand why, you know, our youngest daughter, she's going to sleep for you all the time, but she won't go to sleep for me, you know, for a period of time. It's just communicating, keeping open lines of communication, and not letting our egos get hurt.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
That's hard. You're right. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that's one of my things, one of the things my husband said as well, is that men, you know, they like to solve problems and fix the problem. And so asking for help sometimes is a little bit hard. And you're right. That is so, so true. And I think that's one thing that men do have to do, is kind of ask for that help if they don't know. And I think, and I love that strategy that you said, is asking each other for what you're doing to make that happen, not necessarily to just give up, but, you know, communication is key. And I, you know, I always tell parents, you know, it's really important to be on the same page, you know, and the more on the same page you are, the better your overall experience as a parent is going to be, because you both know how you're going to address those behaviors, or because we're brought up in two different backgrounds as far as, you know, how you were brought up, your outlook is different of how you want to raise your kids, right? So communication is 100% key, because the way you may want your thoughts about how you want to raise your child and her thoughts, the way she might want to raise her children, are two different things, right? So communication, absolutely 100%, I think is key. And being on the same page, understanding how are we going to address these behaviors? What are the behaviors we like? What are behaviors we don't like? And what are some of the behaviors we're not going to tolerate, so that you know how to address those behaviors? So I think that's phenomenal. Is there anything else that you think that, you know, it will help dads, you know, get more involved when it comes to connecting with their kids? Because I think that has been sometimes a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the biggest thing that I've experienced too is just being able to make a mistake. You know, there's a lot of times that not making mistakes okay, and getting the feedback and knowing that it didn't work and just kind of reflecting. I think slowing down and just reflecting on, well, why didn't that work? That's something that I've learned, is just trial and error with talking to other dads and ones that I've really connected with, especially on the podcast, that they do a lot of, there's a lot of dad fails. When I ask the questions, what is one of your biggest dad fails? The dads that usually can answer that like immediately are the ones that I respect the most, because I think that they're the ones that are thinking it out and slowing down and go, okay, this wasn't right, or this didn't work. I wouldn't say not right, because in parenting, yeah. Is there anything that's really right or wrong? I don't know. I mean, I guess there is, but if you're talking broad strokes.
Yeah.
But I think the ones that can step back and go, yeah, this didn't work out great, or this worked out great, but what could we do to make it better? You know, well, how ones that can self-reflection is key. I've started myself. Everything's been technology-based. I'm a huge tech guy. I love tech, but I went back to a paper and pencil journal and like a bullet type journal.
Yes.
Thing, and writing things down and trying to be honest with myself. And that's not easy when you're writing things on paper, but yeah. Trying to be honest with yourself and self-reflecting. I mean, since I've started that in the last, you know, few months, and it's been recent, I've noticed a bigger change and a bigger shift and a bigger mindset shift. my mindset has been less of, this has to get done, this has to get done, to, am I happy every day? Am I smiling every day? And at work or at home, am I putting in the time away from my phone and putting it on with the kids when I get home, or any of that? Or am I spending time with my wife? Because there needs to be that time for us. And,
yes.
And that seems to be the first thing that suffers a lot.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't. It should be the thing that gets the most observation. So it's something that my wife is really good about observing it, and I'm not always the best at finding that time, and I'm trying to be better about that. But I think those are things that have been huge too. Just finding time to self-reflect.
Yes,
it's huge.
Oh, huge. It's, observation is very huge. You learn so much when you're able to slow things down and observe what's going on in your household within your relationship, within your kids. And I think kids mostly, you know, how old are your little ones again?
My oldest is 2.5, and my youngest is going to be a year and about a week or two.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the perfect age to do the most, so much observation, because there's so much that we can learn based of taking our time to slow things down. And I don't think we do that. I think we're always in a hurry. We're always in a rush, and we don't take the time to just slow things down, to really take the time to observe what's happening in the situation, especially when you have little ones that are that close of age. You know, you're quick to making that decision. Most parents are quick to making that decision or that choice or deciding factor of what happened in that scenario, instead of stepping back for a second and looking at that full scenario and saying, well, what really took place here, and taking the time to kind of investigate the situation before jumping into conclusions of what actually happened. And I think that's really key. And I always tell my families when I work with them is that, you know, we really have to kind of, you know, evaluate the pattern of how we do things. You know, I think it's really important to have self-care first, and then nurturing your relationship second, and then your kids should be last. And not that last because they don't mean enough, but last because if you really love your kids, it's really important to focus all your energy on yourself and on your marriage. Because if you don't focus your marriage and focus on your marriage and nurture that, what good are we going to be for them later in life? And yeah. who's going to suffer, right? They're the ones who are going to suffer, because now they're going to be in two separate households. And that's why I always tell parents, you know, it's, we as parents kind of think, oh, it should be our kids first, maybe ourselves, and then our marriage is kind of last.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that. You cannot do that. It has to be you first, of course, because you want to be happy within yourself. Mm-hmm. And definitely you want to nurture that relationship, because that's your foundation, right? And that's what you're modeling for your kids is what a healthy relationship should look like, because this is what you want for their future as well.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, especially at the age like where my kids are, their aptitude is still being developed and they haven't hit that cement spot where you don't develop as fast. You know, they're still, well, my oldest is getting closer, but if they're ingraining that so now and it's getting imprinted on them now, then it's like, well, you know, it's okay to be non-present for an hour or two or whatever. And being honest, I mean, we are human beings and we are going to make mistakes and we are going to do those things, you know, and I can say, you know, my wife, if she was watching, she'd probably say, well, yeah, you're on your phone or whatever. So, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say, I don't do those things all the time. It's a matter of just stepping back and going, well, how can I fix it for next time and make sure yes. that we're both on the same page?
Right.
Exactly. We're all going to make mistakes, you know.
Always. Oh, yeah. I've been married for, you know, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary this June. And any relationship, whether it's, a marriage, a dating, or a relationship with your kids, any relationship is going to be hard. Any relationship takes a lot of work and effort and communication and dedication, right? So you have to take the time to really look at your relationship in general and have good lines of communication open, and taking the time to observe your relationship, and evaluate, making sure that you value it as well. So one of the things I really wanted to talk about today was, you know, as a mom, you know, I think, you know, in the early years, you know, I'm a mom of three and mm-hmm. my kids are older now. So life is a lot easier, slightly easier. You know, we have a 25-year-old, we have a 20-year-old, and we have a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of things, when your kids are little, you know, there's kind of that mindset that as women, I think we want life to be perfect sometimes. We want our household to be, you know, clean. We want to make sure we feel like we have so much pressure on us, and we feel like we have to manage so many areas. And I think we feel like that's our role. You know, sometimes we feel like that's our role. But I think most of the things that I want to talk about is that as you get older and more experienced, you realize the more you have your family involved, the better it's going to be for you and your family. And the more hands-on you have, the better it is. And I think that's the main thing. I don't think we realize that kids at an early age can really participate in the household. Kids at an early age can really learn how to do so much. But we have to be willing to let that go. And it's very hard for women to do that. You know, it's very hard for women to let go and say, you know what, it's okay for someone else to do this and someone else to do it differently than I do it. For instance, you know, I used to be like a control freak when it came to doing laundry. It had to be folded a certain way. It had to be put away a certain way, you know. And I think some women are still kind of attached to doing some of those things. And not necessarily laundry in particular, but certain things, right? I think we get so attached to certain things. And what are some things that, you know, you learned in your household to kind of break those barriers? Even though I know that we're doing a really good job still kind of sharing the roles, mm-hmm. but sometimes I think women still have a little bit of that mindset that we have to have control in certain areas, and it might not be laundry. That was for me, you know, but there's different things for different women, right? What can you share with that?
Well, I know for us, you know, it's just like in our experience in our household, it's I'm a list person, and I don't know if there's a lot of other men are like that or what, you know. I don't want to just my experiences is I'm a list person. So if I can check things off of a list, I'll get them done. But if it's just like I walk in the house and I see that, you know, the dishwasher needs to be empty, just out of the blue, something like that. I mean, I walk up to it and do that, but if I see, like, it sounds archaic and it sounds maybe like I'm not observant, but I'm a list person. I like to check things off of a list. So I think we've learned, you know, just we put some lists together. We've created some lists on, and not even that they're my tasks or my wife's tasks, but just tasks in general, that this is what needs to happen on a daily basis. And if we can help each other out. So creating a list, that, I mean, we do it for our kids.
Yeah.
Why don't we do it for us? Because I mean, we've been trained that way. And, you know, that's just how we do things at work. We check things off lists. It may not be an exact list, but we know exactly what we got to do. There's a routine. So setting routines, not only for the kids, but setting routines for us, because then it's not one person doing it all. Yes. My wife just gets in there and does everything. And then sometimes she's overwhelmed and I feel really bad, but it's like, well, just let's create a list. So and that's a compromise too, because it doesn't always have just if you see something to it, and that does happen. But I'm such a list person, and
no,
I don't
you know
if
what?
There's...
That's a really good idea. And you know, not everyone. And I think that's key. I think that's what's key for you is that what you just said is that I think you know in your relationship if for anything to work is understanding how that other person works. Right.
Yeah.
And if some dads may not want a list because some dads might say lists are too overwhelming or it brings reality that I have to do the work.
Right.
But some dads, you know, for some people, lists are and it's also rewarding. I think when you mark things off a list, it feels very rewarding to say we accomplished something, we got something done, and it's less things on that list, and we feel like we're getting things done. But I think that's the key thing right there that what you said is knowing your partner. About what works for them and what doesn't.
Right.
And I think that's key.
Yeah. And I think it comes back to that thing we talked about earlier, right?
Yeah.
Where I had the episode with the guy that was, that I was just being communicative, and you have to communicate and finding out what works and walking into it with, you know, with maybe our guard a little bit down and not being so, hurt when we say, well, I need this from you, or I need that, you know, it's a give and take, and it's not always an attack. And I think, you know, for me, it was hard sometimes too, because it's like, I need you to do this. And when we just sat down and talked about it, it really wasn't that it was, I'm not doing anything or she's not doing anything. It was the fact of we need to be a team and be united so that we can be together more at the end of the day.
Yes.
Or we can put the kids to bed and sit on the couch and just watch a TV show and enjoy each other's company.
Right.
And that was the goal there, was to try. And I think those little steps, like we've been talking about, the communication, the setting up what our needs are between our partners, is just, you know, just being there and being present and making sure we have a healthy relationship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that's I can't agree more. I think communication is so key in so many problems. And I think that's where we fail to understand that. And the more we can understand how communication can really solve a lot of problems. I know for me, one of the things that used to affect our relationship and that we worked on quite a bit was expectations, right? I had these certain expectations in my head about things that I thought were going to get done by the time I got home. And when I got home, it was like, sometimes I would feel like this, like I was just failed, right? But did I communicate that expectation to my husband? No. And so I set myself up, so to speak, for that, you know? And I think that's, you know, I think that's what we have to realize is sometimes you're kind of setting yourself up for those kinds of failed communication efforts, right? So instead, what I would do is say, hey, if there's three things that you can really help me with when I get home, these are the three, if you can please help me do that. So when I get home, I feel some of that off my plate. And if you can, please let me know what you got to do or you didn't get to do. And that's the thing, because I don't know, you know, what his day was like that day or that evening with the kids or how stressful it ended up being, or if some, you know, was there a blowout that just kind of, you know, put everything out of whack and out of pattern, you know? So, but please tell me at least to say, hey, I really had these three things in mind, but this and this happened. I wasn't able to get to it. So that when I would walk into the door, I would know ahead of time, okay, I know he didn't get to do it for whatever reasons this was, and I'm not set up for feeling like I was not heard. And I think that's the main thing, is that sometimes I think we as women feel like we're not being heard. Overall, men are hearing us, but we're not communicating it enough. And I think women love communication, right? We want to have that open line of communication. So that really, I felt like that really helped our relationship quite a bit, because then he was able to say, hey, I was able to, you know, finish these two things or these three things for you when you got home. So, you know, don't worry, when you get home, they're already done. And that really made me feel good. And just the willingness that he heard me, that I needed it to be done, but also knowing that if he didn't get a chance to do it, it wasn't because he just disregarded what I needed.
Right.
And I think that's what it is. I think we take it so personal and we feel like we're being, you know, we're feeling like we're being disregarded, you know, and I think that with that communication is key when you are able to figure that out. And it takes trial and error, just like parenting takes trial and error, you know, with your kids. It does take a lot of trial and error about how to figure out each other's personality style when it comes to communication. Right. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, even like kind of what you were saying is you gave some tasks, you these three things done. And, you know, we talked about the list before. I don't know necessarily that it even has to be a written list. It's like, okay, then you give him a list. And now he has a list of three things.
Yeah.
And I can check those three things off. I know it's going to make you feel better. And at the end of the day, it's going to make me feel better too. You know, yeah. It's going to make me feel, okay, I did accomplish something. And sometimes when, you know, something that you said earlier was you were coming home, you were upset and, or not upset, but necessarily, you know, just not happy with things weren't done. And maybe it was, why isn't it getting done? I think the fact of just that communication, you know, that right there, and then telling him, you know, it would make me feel better that my wife came home now. Okay, I did those things. I feel better about it. But not only that, she's going to come home happier too.
Yes.
And I've made her day. So I think it kind of unfolds a lot of things you do that.
Right. And, so, and I think another thing that we learned from that is that, you know, there's times where I think, you know, they, you know, sometimes my husband would do things around the house, but they weren't things that were on my priority list. Mm-hmm. Right. And so he would always say, you know, you don't even see what I've done.
Right.
Instead, you see what I didn't do. Right.
That happens a lot.
Yes. Right. Isn't that true? And mm-hmm. so that's when I think I realized, I said, well, maybe he doesn't realize that doesn't matter to me. Like, I don't care what that got done because that wasn't in my head of what had to be checked off. And so I think that's when I realized, oh, I get it now. I think I need to actually say, okay, these are the things that really actually would matter to me and would make me feel less stressed if these things got done. And the other stuff I could care less about, even though maybe it did need to be done, but it wasn't on top of my priority as far as feeling that weight or that stress level to go down. And so when we figured that out, that really helped us quite a bit, actually. It actually helped a lot, a whole lot, because it's like, okay, now the things that really meant, because I know that, you know, and it depends on every household, because there's some men who are very particular and want things done. And there's some women who are more particular and want things. That just depends on your personality type, right? And I think that's vice versa, because I think men too, if they are particular, they want certain things done and they want that from their partner and say, you know, it would really help me if you help me with keeping this organized, right? Because I think clutter sometimes, if our minds are cluttered and we're cluttered with stuff, with work and, you know, just all these things that are happening in our life, and then you have that clutter in the home sometimes too, that's just becomes too overwhelming for certain people, right? Sometimes it doesn't matter, but sometimes it does play a factor in it. So I think that was key for me, is figuring that out of, oh, you're right. You know, I do see the things that I didn't see the things that you did clean up or you did fix, because it really didn't matter to me, because it wasn't something that was sitting on my shoulders that I knew I needed to get done. So I think, again, it just I cannot emphasize, and I know that you can't even, you know, having these conversations with the other dads, is that communication is key, and figuring out how each partner works and what works for each other.
Well, this is a great place for us to take a quick break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can get us, as well as many other parenting podcasts, on their app, which you can get at the iTunes Store, as well as the Google Play Store. And if you like the Dad Experience, make sure you stick around to the end of the episode, because there's going to be another great parenting podcast that, if you love this one, we're sure you're going to like.
Yeah, I think, you know, over the last, it's been about almost 2.5 years that we've been doing the podcast, that I think, like you said, I think that's the number one thing that's brought up is communicating and being available and being open with our partner to make sure that we're all on the same page and we're getting all of our needs met.
Yeah.
Our relationship needs, our individual needs, and our needs for our kids.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, I think usually the priority goes kids' needs, our needs, and then relationship needs. And sometimes those can, you know, overpower each of the other.
Yeah.
But I think it needs to go our relationship needs, and then the kids, not much under it, but right under it. Because if, like you said, if you don't have that down, then what kind of healthy image are we giving to our kids to see? And then is it really going to make them better humans yes. down the line, or even at the current junction?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Well, this was a great conversation. Did you want to add anything else to this?
No, I mean, I think it was great. I think there's a lot more that we could touch on here, maybe in the future sometime, because I think that there's a lot more. And you know, the more dads that I have on, the more insight that I can bring and help, and hopefully a little bit helped here from my experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think any conversation is a good conversation to have, to share, you know, each other's experiences, and to hopefully help someone else to say, you know what, I never really thought about how communication really has affected our relationship. And the thing is that I think what's key about that is that when you don't have good communication skills with each other, and that fails, obviously the tension heightens in the relationship, and that tension is always going to bounce off on your kids as well. And I think that's something that's important for parents to understand, is that if your relationship is causing conflict, or if your relationship is stressed, that is automatically going to feed off to your children, and mm-hmm. their children are going to automatically feel that tension and stress, and then their behavior is going to be affected by it as well. So it is a chain reaction altogether, you know, and kids really sense that really quickly. And I don't know if you've ever had this in your household, but I know that whenever we've had arguments or we've had discussions in front of the kids, we've noticed their behavior all of a sudden get crazy. We've mm-hmm. noticed their behavior all of a sudden, you know, kind of get off key, because they're feeling that negative energy within mm-hmm. ourselves, you know. And that's why it's so important to have that, you know, taking that time to sit down with each other and have a really good conversation about what's working and why isn't it working.
Oh, absolutely.
It's constant, and it's a lot of work.
It is. And you know, my wife is usually pretty good about it. She's like, this is a conversation that may not need to necessarily happen now.
Yeah,
because it's having a negative, it's having an impact on us, but it's also obviously going off onto the kids too, and then they become more irritable or crankier or whatever it may be, whatever their behavior may be. It's important, and she's so great. I'm not great about it all the time. Sometimes I want to just wrap it up in a gift basket and get rid of it and move on. And it's not always, doesn't always take that. It takes that, okay, let's step away from it for a second. Let's be with as a family, and then we'll communicate about it. But like you said, communication again still is so important.
Yeah, and I think that's very true. I mean, I'm glad you said that, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I think a lot of men usually like to say, you know what, we're getting a little bit, you know, off key here, or we're getting a little bit out of, you know, it's getting a little out of control. Men are really good at saying, you know, I need to walk away from this. I need to take a second. And I think women are more like, no, we need to keep going.
And that's funny, because I am the opposite of that. I'm the one that wants to get it done.
Keep going.
And my wife is usually pretty good about, we need to think about it and move on. We have the kind of the flip reversal there. I hate having that lingering over my head, but that's just the way I am.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's funny. That's how it is. Right. And I think that's the thing, is I think one of the things that helped me, because that's who I was too, was when he would say, oh, you know, we need to stop because this is getting out of hand. I would always feel like, well, we'll never come back to it. And I think one of the things that helped was when he said, this is getting out of hand, we need to stop, but we will come back to it mm-hmm. when we're both calm and we're both relaxed.
Right.
And that helped me, because then I knew that, yes, we are going to come back to it. And I don't have to be the one to say, well, are you ready to talk about it? You know, we finally figured out that he would say, okay, I see that you're calm, let's go back and start the conversation. And I actually appreciated that, because then I felt like, okay, we're not just pushing the conversation off to the side because it's gotten to a level that we probably weren't making good choices on, right? But at least I knew that it wasn't me, because I wanted to be the one to continue the conversation, right? At least I knew it wasn't me, that I was the one who had to say, okay, are we ready to talk about it now? He actually figured out that he had to say, okay, you know, I think we're at a good spot that we can have this conversation now. And I think that really, again, it's being validated, right? It's being heard and
right.
saying, okay, you are willing to carry on this conversation. And right. that actually really helped and made a big difference.
Right. And you know, we're still practicing it. We're not, yeah. nobody, I don't think anybody's perfect at it, but I think at the end of the day, when you do step away from things like that and move away from it for a few minutes and then come back, your conversations are so much more effective.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So much, I mean, you've deflated the peak of the argument, let's say. You know, it may not be gone, but you've deflated all that adrenaline. You've deflated all those chemical things that are going on in each other's bodies that you feed off of each other. And when you take a step back, you have a chance for that to kind of calm down, and then you approach it from a different mindset.
Yes.
And you're much more successful when you can do that. Now, again, I'm not the one that can stop usually. I want to wrap it up and be done so I can put it on a shelf and forget about it. Where and I can't. And she kind of, my wife was on here just a few minutes ago. I don't know if she still is, but she kind of put the laughing face. That was her. And I think it's because she knows. I mean, it's true. She's the one that gets the all the accolades for diffusing those situations, because I want to wrap it up and put it on a shelf. So it's something that I'm still learning.
Yeah. It's a process. It is a process. And you know what? I think all families need to understand, all couples have to understand, that it's always going to be a process. It's a roller coaster. It is definitely a roller coaster. Relationship is a roller coaster, and you're going to have great moments and bad moments, just like anything else in life, just like in parenting, just anything, weight loss, everything that you do in life. It's always a roller coaster. It's never going to be a perfect smooth ride, right? It's always going to have its ups and downs, but it's how you get through it and how you manage it that makes a difference.
Yeah. So. And I mean, it's okay. I mean, we tell her, I know I tell my kids all the time, being a music teacher, I want you to make a mistake. I want you to make a confident mistake. Cause if you don't make the mistake and it's not confident, I may not catch it, or I may not be able to hear it, or may not be able to fix it and help you be better about whatever you're doing. Yeah. And I think it's the same thing in anything with parenting or you know, helping our children or making our relationships better. Is we are going to make mistakes. No one's perfect. And it's how we can step back and say, okay, this didn't go well. How can we make it better? And what did I learn from it? And that's why I like asking all the dads that come on, what was your biggest parenting dad fail? You know, it sounds funny as dad fail, but that's not what I'm getting at. It's what happened?
Yeah.
What did you do? You know, your kids weren't sleeping, so you lost it and you just couldn't get them to sleep. So they didn't sleep. But how did you get through that? Because obviously it's working now.
Yes.
So what did you learn from it? So I think it's just self-reflection and reflecting together as a couple as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to ask you that question. What was your biggest dad fail?
My biggest dad fail. Let's see. I really try and I want to be there and do everything with them, and I can't physically be there and do everything with them. I think me balancing my work, I think the biggest, let's say this, my biggest dad fail, I think, is being able to balance my work life with my home life.
Yeah.
And I am home a lot, and I like to get home, and I try and leave at the end of the day. But I'm not home enough, especially in the fall when a marching band is going on and those things. So yeah. I think balancing that life, and knowing that work is work, and those kids are so important, and I love my job, and I love being there, and I love doing all those things. I'm in a great place, and I have great support there. But knowing that those kids are students, and we're developing them, and I do treat them like they're my own children. At the end of the day, I have to come home, and I do have my children at home that need my number one priority.
I appreciate you. I understand that. My son was in drums and marching band.
And that's what my name is.
And their director, their marching band director was, I mean, when it's that season, they're there all the time. And I get that. I totally get that. And I appreciate that. One of the joys that we were able to see is always when the brand director would bring his family and the kids.
And that's what I love to do.
Yeah.
I love to bring the kids. I love they come to rehearsals. They come to the, you know, if there's a day where my wife's a teacher too. So if there's a day that they're not in school and she has the kids, they'll come and watch a rehearsal. My daughter, my oldest daughter, loves the marching band.
Yes.
And it's fun to see them there, but it's just getting home and being with them is so important, because it's, you know, they're just as important. So I don't want them to feel like my kids are more important than my children at home.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want my kids at home to think that my students are more important.
Correct. Yeah.
So but I also don't want my students at school to think that I'm abandoning them either. So it's a weird balance, especially in that profession. You know,
I think when I work with families, I let them know, you know, that parenting guilt is always there. It's always, you know, we're always going to have that parenting guilt. But I think the best advice I can give families who have, you know, full-time jobs and who are working hard, and I think the fact that you have joy in what you do, I think that's a great security for your kids, you know, and it's not a lack of that they're not getting enough of you, because they are, because they're seeing how happy you are and they're seeing your joy, and they're feeding off of that joy. So when they see you out there doing what you're doing and you're good at it and they love to see what you're doing, and they're getting just as much joy. And I think that's what parents have to understand, is that your children are always going to be nourished. They're always going to have that love. They're always going to have that security, and their needs are still being met, and that may not be being met by you at that moment, but it doesn't mean it's not getting met at all, you know, and it is getting met. And I think we put too much pressure on ourselves as parents. But I think what we have to start, when you reposition it and change your perspective on it, and you start to see that your kids are actually looking up to you and seeing the joy that you have doing the work that you do, brings them much joy. And I think we don't see that, or do we recognize that? And I think that's the biggest thing that we as parents can take from that, and not have that parent guilt when we're not there for our kids. Because at the end of the day, our kids do look up to us when we see mm-hmm. that we're happy doing what we're doing. And because then they know when that they become parents, that they can still do what's making them happy, and that they don't have to stop their life because of their kids. And I think that's what's the most important thing. And I think that a lot of, you know, some parents who do give up their dreams because they had kids, because they felt like their kids have to come first, are not necessarily that happy in their overall experience in life, right? And I think when kids see that your parents are happy and doing what they're doing, they're just, they're enlightened, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what they want. That's what anybody wants to see, is each other to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And if we can show our kids that we're still fulfilled and we love them, I think their needs are being met so much more.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, and I have a question for you. We on our show, we always ask, you know, what are the things that you can't wait to see, or you have seen or experienced again through your children's eyes? And you said you've listened, so you might have heard some of the dads and moms come on and talk about it. What are those things that you were most excited to see or share, or share in the experience or relive again?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit different. I think a lot of parents are always afraid to see their kids grow, like they don't want to see their kids grow. I've always loved that. I've always loved their next milestone. Like I always, you know, would tell my kids, when you turn 4, you can do this. When you turn 5, you can do this. When you turn, you know, now you're going to be 50, you know, when you turn this age, you're going to be able to learn how to drive. You're going to be. So I always was very excited about their next milestone. So for me, that was always just such a blessing to see them grow and see them, you know, flourish. That just brought me so much joy to see that next level. And even when my kids, you know, a lot of parents have anxiety when their kids are going to be driving, I loved it. I couldn't wait till they got their license and they were able to get out there and drive. Like, you know, I and going to college, you know, parents have that like, oh my gosh, I'm losing my baby. I loved it. I thought it was going to be the coolest thing for them. And I was so excited. But that's because I knew within my heart, I gave them all the securities that they needed to be successful out there in the world. Like I made sure that their foundation was stable, right? They cleaned since they were toddlers. They learned how to cook for themselves since they were like 9 years old. They started, you know, they would do their own laundry, you know, so they're very independent, right? And I knew that the more I set them up for life, basic life skills, the more I knew that they were going to be successful out on their own. So that was my main thing, is always like, what's going to be next in their future? What's their next, you know, accomplishment, and what's their next goals? And I was always excited about that. So, taking the time to actually invest in them early on to make sure that they are successful, so that when they get into the college environment or whatever environment they decide to, because I don't think every child has to go to college. I think to kind of be open with that, that I think there's a lot of great traits out there that we can be pushing our kids to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think college is a little overweight. I'm not saying that you don't need it. I just think it's
a little overweight. No, I agree. I tell a lot of my students that all the time, like, you know, my generation has been pushed to go to college, get a master's. You know, my master's degree is the new college. I mean, college was the new next high school. When I was going to school, it was expected. And now it's like, who's going to do all the trades? Because I don't know how to do electrical. My father-in-law, my dad are amazing. And my mom even too, about the different, you know, different skills that they learned that were more important when they were in school. And it wasn't just all about testing or whatever.
Yeah.
That they can do that I can't. Those life skills classes that are all gone.
Yes.
There's those shop classes for male or female. They're all gone.
I knew
how to do home skills. They're all gone for boys and girls. It's gone.
And it's sad.
I look up to my parents and my wife's parents because they can do those things. And it's harder for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's
I tell my kids, you can make so much money being an electrician now. Yeah. You can charge me whatever you want because I don't know how to do it and I need it done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is scary to see those life skills kind of slowly disappearing. I mean, when I work, there's some families that I've worked with where they don't have those basic skills. And if they don't have those basic skills, they're not going to show their kids those basic skills. So what does our future look like? You know, and it's actually very, very scary.
Well, a perfect example of this is like, and it's related, but not really related. We've stopped teaching cursive writing from our schools.
Mm-hmm.
The kids in high school now have the hardest, almost none of them can really read it.
Yeah.
That's it's true. Gone. Yes. So, I mean, you think of it from that level, now taken in the level of these skilled trades. Well, how are we going to do it? How are we going to survive? And how are we going to function if they're all gone?
Yeah, but I'm hoping there's a shift.
I think there is.
I think there is a shift. I think the new generation that's starting to understand that and starting to value that their creativity is much more than the piece of paper. And I think companies are actually starting to understand that creativity is much more than the piece of paper.
I have a lot of confidence and faith in this young generation. You know, I know people are always, it's the next generation that's going to, I think the next generation are going to be the ones that are going to buck the system a bit. And they're going to say, we don't want the technology anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're done being on the phones. We're done being, and maybe they don't believe it, but I really think that they're going to get sick of because there's so much negative that's starting to outweigh the positive.
Yes.
But I think they're going to be done with it. And they're going to realize that the social interaction is more important. And I'm hoping, knock on wood, that I have a lot of faith in the students that I've seen and that I've taught. I can there's a lot of hope there that I see that they're making good choices and smart choices. So I think we're doing something right. I think that a lot of times that we give the younger generation, even when I was younger, you guys don't know X, Y, or Z. And we say that a lot, but I think the next generation is going to change some things for the better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we as parents have to make sure we model that. And I think that's the main thing. I think if we as parents now start modeling that a little bit of saying that, you know, connection is key. Actual connection with each other is key. I think the we can start to break that cycle, but we have a huge role in that is breaking that cycle and putting those phones away. And I do this because I have to, because it's my business part of it too. And because I want to educate people. And I think this is a great platform to be able to do that, but I think that's all, that's all it has to be. And I think that once we kind of control that a little bit and kind of model for our kids, the better it's going to be. And self-discipline, you know, it's all about self-discipline. And if your kids learn that you have self-discipline, they're going to learn how to have self-discipline as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this was a great conversation.
And I had a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for joining me. It sounds like we have, you know, we had a lot of people out there watching and listening, and hopefully we were able to give some good feedback and some good information for some people to really take some time to really evaluate their overall relationship when it comes to their family and their relationship and themselves, and make some changes.
I appreciate all the people listening and stopping in and giving, you know, we've had a few comments on there. I tried to get to those, and I'm sure you did too. So thanks so much for having me on. Hopefully we can do something like this again in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good. Have a great week and enjoy your weekend.
You too. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. And if you have a question for any of our past guests or you have a have a show idea or show topic you want to be discussed, email us, experienceanddad@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, The Dad Experience, and on Facebook and all the major social media outlets. So hit us up, let us know, give us some feedback, and keep telling your friends and folks about The Dad Experience. We keep growing and growing and growing every week, and we really appreciate it. And a lot of that comes from you guys, the listeners, and we appreciate all the support and the word of mouth. So thank you so much. We're going to catch you next time on The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.